Friends, the reading this week is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, starting with verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But Mary was much perplexed by his words, and she pondered what sort of greeting this may be. I think this is the understatement verse in the whole Bible. And then the angel Gabriel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give to him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren. For nothing is impossible with God." And then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us. In this last week, I've been talking to some of my friends from way back when. And I'm going to say thank you for surprising me on the week of my 30th anniversary. That's why I've been calling them to brag about that a little bit. And we talk a little bit about what we're preaching. And one of my friends reminded me about what happened back when we were young on the floor of Presbytery. Presbytery is a regional group of Presbyterian churches that gets together on a maybe every couple month basis. And when a new pastor comes to a church and is going to be ordained, first time out of seminary, the people sitting in the pews would ask them questions. When I was a young woman, they were quite rigorous. Now we're much gentler than that. But back in the day, it was a little tough. And there was one presbytery in North Carolina that everyone knew. A man would get up and say, "What do you think about the virgin birth?" Or, "Do you believe in the virgin birth?" And the word got back to the seminary that students were stumbling over this because they got so excited, they'd want to give a long explanation, and they would just fumble. So the theology professor said to students, if he knew they were going to that place to be interviewed or questioned, "If you're asked if you believe in the virgin birth, say yes and sit down." Don't try to explain it. Say yes and sit down. And I think it's probably a pretty good advice about how to receive this story. We do have to suspend, as Mary did, rational and intellectual and biological thoughts and reflections, and just say yes. And the truth is, we Protestants have a little unease with Mary, or we deal with Mary in a variety of ways. Some use it as kind of a litmus question of in and out. You're in the group, you're out of the group, like that man in North Carolina did. Or some of us spend a lot of time explaining how it happened or how it didn't happen. And we, as pastors, sometimes are rather relieved Mary only comes around once a year, this virgin, all this stuff. And if we're lucky, it's just a Christmas pageant and a cute girl holds a baby doll and life is fabulous. But I think sometimes we lose something in that attitude. I mean, we're kind of uncomfortable with a Catholic understanding of a devotion to Mary as Queen of Heaven and this idea of Immaculate Conception, or we can't understand why the Orthodox traditions kind of venerate Mary and see her as an intercessor between God and Jesus. But as I said before, I do think it's a loss for us when we don't really kind of focus on Mary a bit more. We lose the power in the story. The point is not Mary's virginity, but that God chose her. It is about God and God's power and God's promise to use this young, unqualified, unmarried woman to be the bearer of the Savior of the world, of the Messiah. It isn't about how it happened, but that God broke in the midst of creation, into the ordinary world, and our ordinary world has not been the same since. It's about conception, not so much about conception, but really about creation. Martin Luther, the founder of the Reformed tradition, said there were three miracles in Christ's nativity. God becomes human, a virgin conceived, and Mary believed. And Luther would say that the last one, Mary believed, was the greatest miracle. I mean, really, can we imagine an encounter with an angel? I mean, this angel Gabriel brings news of two unexpected or two impending births. Before we enter the story, feel free to go and read it after the service. The angel Gabriel comes to Zachariah and says, your wife's going to have a baby the regular way, and it's going to be amazing. Well, he's really old, and he said, well, how can this happen? Me and my wife are old. And so the angel said, you're not going to talk about it until it happens. So we have that one. I mean, he had lived for many years as a righteous, faithful person, and he was longing for a child, but somehow his imagination could not give room for this happening. And then we have Mary. The story tells us that the angel comes to her and says, you're going to have a child. And this news is unexpected, and really, it's undesirable, because no pious young woman would want anyone to learn that she was pregnant outside of marriage, because that would mean, at the very strongest, that she could be stoned to death. That really didn't happen. But at the very least, she would be shunned by her family and her community. And then we have this God who decided to choose her. She's young. I mean, she's not chosen because she's from a good family or because she's very pious or something amazing. All we know is that God chose her because she was a favored one. Do you see how he greets her? Greetings, favored one. God is with you. That's the clue. In Greek, favored one means God's grace is with you. God's grace is with you, Mary. She's not favored, as I just said, because of something in her or about her. She's favored because God chose her and God loves her. Mary was an ordinary person, but with God's love and God's favor, she became extraordinary. Eugene Peterson, in his translation of the Bible called The Message, puts it this way: good morning, you're beautiful in God's beauty, beautiful inside and out. God be with you. And Mary was perplexed and pondered what kind of greeting this is. Really, again, the understatement. I mean, perplexed and pondering sounds a little too calm with me through the lens of distance. The angel has just come to her, called her by name. Peterson catches, I think, the anxiety of this when he said, she was thoroughly shaken, wondering what was behind a greeting like that. Now that's a little bit closer, I think, kind of trembling inside at this greeting. And I like the word perplexed because it gives room that she doesn't really understand all that's been going on, and she has to think on this a bit. And Mary's response to me feels like she wanted to think about it a little bit. How can this be because I'm a virgin? It's more of a statement of astonishment than outright questioning. Really? How can this be? I'm not pregnant. Tell me how this will happen. It's a question in the midst of faith. She hears something that's astonishing, and she says, you know, tell me how this can happen. It is out of my experience. And Mary has probably heard about Elizabeth's pregnancy. You don't keep something like that quiet. And the angel said, nothing is impossible for God. And this tells me that God does amazing things in Mary's life, in Elizabeth's life, and really even in ours. Mary's response to this is stunning. Here I am, a servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word. It isn't that she says, I understand, I'm sure you're telling me. She doesn't say that. She is saying, here I am, I'm going to live into this future I do not understand. I love that. She may be confused. I suspect she is overwhelmed, but she really says, yes, I see it all now. I am the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be with me as you say. I'm going to be a servant. I'm going to be a maid, and you're going to do it as you wish. Some would say it's the very first prayer of a Christian in the Gospel of Luke. Here I am, a servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word. Somehow Mary can live in the midst of this mystery. I wonder if we might also have a little bit of that willingness to live in the midst of mystery, to live in the midst of questions, of uneasiness, of pondering. Could we also trust that God can use us, even though we're not qualified, and we make mistakes, and we're imperfect, but what makes us usable for God is that God has chosen us and loves us. I mean, really, if God could use this young, unqualified girl, could not God use us? Can we still ask questions and not be quite sure and yet live in faith? Can we seek to be a servant even if we don't know what it's going to be like? I wonder if God still makes announcements in our life. And might we not have a little bit of the let it be according to your word? I mean, what would it be like if we boldly could say, some of us might say, okay, I'm your servant. Some of us might say, yeah, if you can't find anyone else, I'd be willing to give it a try. Do you know, both of those are just fine. The Christian word for moving forward in this way is obedience. It means following the call, the way, the nudges of God, even if we're unsure, unclear, hesitant, or wishing that really God would have sent us a letter for approval first. Following when we're unsure of ourselves and maybe even of the community, but willing to trust that God is in the midst, is obedience. What I do know is that if we follow a path, if we least are moving in a life of faith, it means that we let God interrupt our lives. It's the interruption sometimes where the amazing things happen. Gabriel's news was an interruption in the life of Mary and an interruption in the life she had planned with Joseph. I mean, this engagement had been set for years. They knew that 9 months after the wedding took place that there would probably be children, or the mother and the mother-in-law would start asking. And yet there was an interruption in her life, and Mary embraced it. One of my pastor friends said, I've often wondered what I would have done in Mary's shoes, or really probably in Mary's sandals. Would I have said, use me, let it be according to your word? I doubt it. I would have probably said, excuse me, thank you, I'm really glad you think I'm chosen, but I'm just going to opt out. No. The fact is, my friends, that I'm not especially interested in being interrupted by God. I like my carefully planned out plans. Thank you so much. But it is in the interruptions, in the disquiet, in our planned life that God works. I believe it's in the smaller, unexpected moments that we hear the call of God, or the nudge of God, or the kick in the hiney of God. I'm hoping that we can learn to live in the mystery, to believe that nothing is impossible for God. So may we, like Mary, in this Advent time, take on some of her ways of being, of believing and trusting that God can use ordinary people like us to do God's work, to live out the ways of Christ here and now. Not perfect people, not qualified people, but perplexed and pondering people, people that are loved by God, ones who are beautiful inside and out because God is with us. Maybe be willing to be interrupted by God, to live in mystery, and to live in love. So I'm going to just offer you a few minutes after, not few minutes, a few seconds after the sermon to think about how you might be willing to be interrupted by God, to be able to say, yes, here I am, use me. May we learn to live in love and mystery as we ponder and pray. Wrap us in your love, God. Amen.